Well, Hitler. Hitler. Yeah, I have no idea where that voice came from. Oh, my God. Well, welcome to Radio Fishin'. This is Fishin' Frank, and I'm actually back. Okay. Yes, we're here. We have a new hard drive. We're all set up, ready to go, and more of these wonderful Radio Fishin' shows for your entertainment and edification. Yes, indeed. All right. So, yes, indeedy, Robert is our guest today, and we have nothing prepared to talk about. I said, Robert, let's go back and do a radio clip. What are we going to do?
Well, that's usually how we operate the best.
I'm not sure that's going to work today, but...
Oh, yeah. Sure, why not? Let's just start a routine route around the harbor for the fishing report.
Okay. Let's see. Let's start off. Let's go south this time. Let's see what's... you heard anything? Pick a spot to start, and we'll go from there.
Well, let's start in Boca Grande, because it's by far the most consistent thing going right now, and it's probably going to be that way anyway until at least the middle of next week when we get the cold front come through. Snapper on the bottom. There's been a few red grouper there. There's also been a lot of Spanish mackerel, a few sharks, some oddball incidental cobia, but there's also been some flounder and some pompano cruising the channel.
Wait a minute, we got to talk about cobia a second. We are hearing stories of a couple big schools of cobia all the way up here by the 41 bridge.
Yeah, but they're moving around a lot.
Yeah, but they were catching 52-inch cobia off the 41 bridge. I don't care, that's nice. I mean, that's big fish.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very quality fish, and that's just, I think, an oddity for this time of year. You know, I mean... We've always got a few big cobia cruising around. It's just a matter of coming across them. You know, it's a tough one to deal with.
You got a headphone yet?
No.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'll just adjust while you talk.
All right. Yep, we were prepared.
How was that one?
Perfect.
Sorry about that. I don't know why, but every once in a while, ever since this thing went on with the hard drives and trying to get everything back up, everything's out of adjustment. So we're going to try and get everything readjusted while we do the fishing report. But yeah, I don't know. I've heard 2-3 guys talking about the cobia, and I just heard about it again from yesterday. A guy was in this morning, and he was telling me about those big cobia down here at the bridge. And yes, it's, you know, it's luck. You and them both got to show up at the same time. But if you're anywhere around the area, just keep your eyes open. I mean, this is 20-30 big cobia. I mean, all over, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking that these things are all well over 33.
Well, and I tell people all the time, I don't care what time of year it is, you should never not go out and have at least one bigger spinning reel with you or a bigger conventional reel with you. You never know what you're going to run into. It's Florida. There are seasons for fish as far as when they're supposed to be here and when they're not supposed to be here, but they don't know what clocks are.
Nobody told the fish when they're supposed to be here and when they're not.
They don't know the rules we do. And there's always, always the oddball around. You know, people catch sheep's head in August. That's not normal, but they're here.
Well, you catch them, but just not in numbers like you do when it's cold.
Exactly.
You might get one here or one there.
It's strictly an incidental catch, but if you're ready for it, you can catch it. Same way with a big, you know, 6-7 foot shark or a tarpon or, in this instance, cobia. You know, there's a lot of fish around right now, so you should be prepared to cover every base no matter when you go out. And if you don't, it's your own fault because chances are you left 12 fishing poles back in the garage.
And I'm going to say the thing surprising me a little bit, too, is the mullet. I mean, it is the fish bait right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, Mallory and all them catching sharks out in Boca, they're using mullet. The guys who caught the cobia here, using mullet. And
well, they're spawning right now. Millions and millions of tons of cobia, or mullet.
millions of tons of cobia.
left the Port Charlotte canals, left the Punta Gorda canals, left the rivers, and all went out the passes last week. And there's a few starting to trickle back in, but I did not have a single mullet behind my house for 5 days. I did not see a single mullet.
Yeah, I haven't seen any up in the river in
a while. So all those fish boogied offshore and to go off to spawn. When they do that, they bring predators back with them that were out there. You know, they're following the food.
Okay, now wait a minute. You're saying the mullet are going out the car. Hey, guys, come on. We're going back inside. Come on. I need a couple predators here.
Yeah, well, they're just following the food. You know, the mullet are running like heck just to get back inside so they don't get eaten. Exactly.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Can you imagine going to spawn and having things chase you and eat you? And that's the last thing you got in your mind. You
right.
God, I'm not a mullet. Oh. I'm glad I'm not a mullet.
Yeah, I'm glad I've got opposing thumbs.
Yeah, no kidding. And a bedroom with a locked door.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I know. I was just sitting here thinking about it, going, oh, God, that's just what I would need. There's no way I'm going to get up and run away.
No. No, not at all.
Okay. Anyway, long shot over the far rail fence. All right, and we're back. Fishing report. We were at Boca Grande talking about fishing when we were so rudely interrupted. Who did that?
I don't know.
Let's kick his butt.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Okay. All right, let's go to Little Gasparilla Pass. And what's the fishing like in Little Gasparilla Pass, Robert?
Pretty much about the same as Boca Grande Pass, just a more confined quarters. There's a lot of mangrove snapper in that deep little pocket there. Some flounder and pompano along the edges of it. And that bar has gotten bigger on the outside, south end,
makes
I guess.
Real
so.
Shallow, getting in and out. So when fish come up on a high tide, they really don't want to get out right. until the tide comes back up again. So great yes. end of great low tide spot.
Absolutely. You know, and all those docks right there close to it on the technically the Boca Grande side, they've got some redfish underneath them, some fairly good snook are still under there. There's even been a few big trout cruising right along that edge there, especially as you get closer to the bridge going on to Boca.
Yeah, the Gasparilla Island, all those inside docks, sheephead, black drum, all kinds of fish, trout over there. Same thing up to Little Gasparilla, just north of there. Got a lot of fish on those insides. And it's actually been really good, trout out in those open flats. But now, Robert, let's take and go to Sanibel.
Sanibel. You're saucy today. I like it. Sanibel's been doing really good, both from the shore around the causeway there and out on the beaches. Out on the beaches, they've been getting a few shark, a whole lot of really decent whiting. There's still been a few pompano and flounder over there, but not super consistent on those guys. And then over on the causeway, you've got a mixed variety of sheep's head, whiting, pompano. And if you cruise around out in a boat and you're fishing around those flats, there's been some very large trout and some bonnet heads in some of those deeper sand holes in that 4 to 6 feet of water range. And moving up like Mondango area, there's been some pretty good redfish. Most of them are in that 20 to 24 inch range, not big ones, but fairly good quality. Then up in Pine Island Sound, same thing. You got to look for that same areas, deeper water for the bigger trout, and around the oyster bars. And the oyster bars have kind of got a mixed variety of stuff. They've got some really, really good sheep's head, a few oddball black drum, even heard of a few Atlantic croaker down there on some of the bars. So it's been pretty decent down in that area.
And I've been good. I didn't interrupt you once yet. There was like, I'm training myself not to interrupt. Okay.
The water's really, really clear, too. So you either need to downsize on your leader size down to like 25 if you're fishing open water or even 20. But also don't hesitate to go longer. You know, instead of doing the traditional 18 to 24 inch leader material this time of year, bump it up to 3 feet. You know,
now I'm downsizing at least one size on my hook right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using over the winter, recommend a lot of 3-aught, 4-aught stuff, and we're looking at 1-aughts and 2-aughts right now. Downsize that hook just a little bit. Harder to get a hook set. You got to be a little more patient, but a little less visible.
A whole lot less.
Water getting clearer. Don't go as deep when you go through the bait. You'll lose a couple extra pieces of bait, but hook them a little shallower, leave them a little more of the hook exposed, and go down a little bit smaller in the size.
Yep, and finesse them a little bit, because remember, you're going to a lighter leader, and generally speaking, the smaller hook is just a little bit lighter wire, so you don't want to risk straightening them out. Even on something as simple as a 5-pound sheep's head, it can do a pretty good number on them.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let's take a look. You heard anything from Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey, the only thing I heard about lately is the sheep's head that have been cruising around on the flats down there on the outside edge of the flats because there's been hardly any water on them.
I wonder if there's a barnacle left on that Matt Lachey piling.
I doubt it. even with what little bit is there from the new bridge and everything, they're having a field day with the sheep's head down there.
The reason we say that is because if you crush the barnacles that are on the pilings, take two or three off for bait, or a dozen or two, use those for bait, and then go back and literally, instead of running the scraper down the piling, pushing them off, put the scraper on the bottom and run it up, crushing them, and you get a lot better results. And then scrape it down on the second stroke. But your first stroke, to get that a lot of that gunk in the water, put your scraper on towards the bottom and pull up, literally crushing them as you come up rather than scraping them off as you go down. And it's really working a lot better. And you get two actual scrapes. You get that first one light scrape going up, and it gets that whole big cloud. Wait a while and do a downstroke. And don't get crazy. Don't clean the whole side of the piling at once. Do one stroke up, wait a while, another stroke down. Key is putting more chum in the water over more of a period of time rather than all at once.
Right. You don't want to overfeed them and get them to move on. You want to try to keep them interested and entice them.
Well, you don't want to over-chum them and run out of chum. There's only so much barnacles on a piling.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, coming back up north, the east side of the harbor, Two Pines, Burnt Store, Pirate Harbor.
Burnt Store and Pirate Harbor have been doing really good. They're starting to be a little bit more consistent with the trout action. There's been some pretty good trout in the channels on both Pirate Harbor and Burnt Store. Most of them are smaller, but at least the numbers are staying more consistent. So if you just want to bend the rod and have a good time taking a kid fishing, or somebody who's new at fishing that really is interested but not a great fisherman, but you want to keep the rod bent and have them entertained,
yep.
Perfect. Perfect place to go to. And there's been some really large ladyfish mixed in there with them. Few big redfish and a few big snook cruising around inside there. If you go into Pirate Harbor a little bit further, there's been a lot of jacks up inside there and some juvenile tarpon too.
Now, those little tarpon are tricky.
They're a pain in the butt.
Yeah, they're amazingly difficult. It will keep you busy for hours trying to figure out how to get one of those to bite a hook.
It'll keep you busy for years if you really want to dwell on it.
Well, yeah, because they just roll and roll and roll, and they roll right in front of the boat, and you cast and cast and cast. They'll make you crazy.
Yeah, there
but
is no
they are
magic.
Catchable,
they, yeah, and there's no magic lure for them. It's just a matter of literally trying everything in your box to throw at them. You know, if anyone can master it where they could keep them. Yeah, if you could keep it mastered where you could figure out exactly what they want to eat all the time, you could stay busy catching tarpon all year round in every one of the canals and up in the river, but they are just not... They are a lot more complicated to catch than they are in the summertime, and they will pretty much test your patience immensely even when they're abundant.
They'll make you nuts. So, anyway, we've been doing Pirate Harbor. As you come north of Pirate Harbor, it's a great place for kids and all that. Lots of trout out there in the open flat.
Mm-hmm.
Between the sandbar and the islands, you just drift across there, even anchor up. There's so many trout going through there, you're going to catch some.
Yeah, and if you anchor on the outside of the bar, you're getting some Spanish, some bluefish, some big ladyfish, and the trout kind of all mixed in together.
You know, some foo fish?
Bluefish.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you said foo. I was thinking, what, we got a Chinese fish here I don't know about?
Bluefish, two fish, redfish.
Yeah.
Something.
I've got to get a Dr. Seuss book. I know that. I just can't remember.
Exactly.
Okay.
Alligator Creek Reef is starting to get some more consistent sheep's head on it also. The mangrove snapper seem to have slowed down a little bit. As the sheep's head have been moving in, they kind of start to get dispersed a little more concentrated in little spots, so you got to kind of hunt for them more.
I'd love to be able to go somewhere and get some nice fresh barnacles off a piling and get them all crushed up and be able to put them in a bucket of some kind and be able to go to the reef and just ladle a little bit of that out at a time.
Right.
Can you imagine how many fish you'd have up by you?
Oh, I'm sure it'd be crazy. There's been a few spade fish there too lately. Not good numbers yet, but there's definitely been a few around. And then oddball cobia, Spanish mackerel also. So kind of a mixed variety.
I don't know what that noise is.
That's somebody's cell phone.
Oh, okay.
I thought you had some gypsy sound effects going on. I wasn't quite sure. As long as you don't start belly dancing, we're all good.
Okay. And as we come up around here, 41's doing well. I-75's doing well.
Yeah. Good whiting, good, decent trout. The silver trout have been kind of surprising. Not great numbers, but they've been some better quality fish.
Yeah, they're usually that 8, 10 inches. And I've seen a lot of them in that 12, 13, 14 inches. And
right.
That's legal. They don't have a size limit.
Right. And then there's also been a few black drum, few incidental tarpon once again. There's been a few more snook starting to show up too around those bridges. This water temperature, even though it hasn't dropped greatly, it has been slowly dropping. It's just not fast like it usually is for this time of year.
Whoa.
So every week it seems like, instead, even though it's staying sustained in the 80s, we're having enough of these low tides and cold fronts where every week the water temperature is dropping another degree, another 2 degrees, and staying at that point rather than coming up, going down, coming up and going down like it was 4 weeks ago.
Well, one of the things about it is, too, I got to give Kale credit. I know I pick on him all the time, but...
it's because he's pickable.
Yeah, he's definitely pickable. But he's been actually doing pretty good because he's been really working that river a lot with the redfish and the other fish that are up there. And he's one of the few that's not having to cancel his trips on the bad weather. We got more bad weather coming in over the weekend. Supposed to be raining Sunday. We're supposed to be getting 10, 15 mile an hour plus winds. Makes it a little snotty in a harbor. But nothing terrible, but it's going to be a little more bumpy, and you're definitely probably not getting offshore. So the river's got so many different types of fish in, but it's tough to fish.
It is. You've got to learn it. It's just, I mean, anybody who doesn't fish the harbor, for that matter, I mean, or is new to the harbor, it's tough to fish. You got to take it in a grid pattern and learn it. And I've said this a bunch of times over the years. People need to keep a journal. A fish journal, you know, to cover their bases, to know what to reflect back on. You and I have been doing this for ever, and you're a pachyderm with knowledge. You constantly remind me of stuff that I forget.
Say, no, wait a minute. I have lost 16 pounds. Not now.
I said knowledge, not okay. Weight. We weren't all talking right. About kale. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, sorry. Bang.
Bang, we're in midships. He took out the boiler first shot. No warning.
But okay. No, there's... You know, you forget so much, and there's no way, I don't care how good you are, there's no way to remember what front was coming through, what the water temperature was, what the tide, moon
phase.
I'm going
to open the door and yell to Kale, you're telling the world he's fat.
Okay. Let me know how that works out.
Yeah, let me know how that works. He ain't got to hear anyway. So, anyway.
But to have those journals to break it down into areas so you can reflect back on them and keep hitting these spots over and over again. You've talked about it with offshore fishing. You find a spot, you mark it, you fish it 4 or 5 different times throughout the year. And if you don't catch anything on those 4 or 5 different trips throughout the year, get rid of it. But it's no good. But if you only fished it once that year at that one time, you don't know if that number is good or garbage, because it might only be a good wintertime spot, might be only a good springtime spot, or it might only be good on a new moon spot. Yeah. You just never know.
You got to play with them. And if you give up on a spot, you might have gave up on one of the best fishing spots.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of fishing spots, let's go to Myakka Cutoff. What are you hearing? Anything in Myakka Cutoff?
A lot of little 18 to 24-inch redfish with an oddball bigger redfish. Some better snook, especially on the north end up towards Tippy Canoe.
Yeah, the horseshoe's doing real well. Narrow's not
trout.
Doing too good.
No, a few little trout right there at the entrance on the harbor side.
Now, if you come through on the harbor side, go past that first little opening, and then it kind of makes a little jog in, and that long shoreline right there, there's a little trough in front of that. Go up in there, find the trough, and then get out the outside of the trough and cast back towards the shore. And I'm casting past the trough, letting the bait come through it. There's actually some pretty nice fish there. And if I'm not hitting them there, I go, straight off the end of that point, and I go to the far side, and just a little bit of an angle to the west, and I'll work that shoreline, and there's been some nice redfish back there. It's sneaky back there. Stop. You know, 150, 200 feet away from the shore, get quiet and work in. You know, Don't motor right up to the shoreline. If you do, you're going to be waiting a while to find a fish come back.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many fish in the cutoff. It's unbelievable for varieties of species, but it's a roadway.
Yeah.
You know, people are constantly running through there, whether they're fishing or not fishing.
But it's when they stop the darn boat. If a boat runs by you, don't even worry about it. Half time I'm throwing in their wake trying to get all the fish that come in to eat the stuff that the props stir up. And it makes great fishing. But it's when somebody shuts that motor off, that's when everything gets freaked out. Because they don't hear it come. There it is. There it goes. It's here it comes. There it is. Oh, my God, it's here. Where did it go? You know, and they get freaked out. So But swinging around up into the Mayaca River, Eljabin and out through into Cattle Dock, mouth of the Mayaca.
Eljabin's starting to show a little bit more consistency on the sheep's head. There's still not good numbers yet, but it's definitely getting better each day. The mangrove snapper definitely slowed down a little bit. There's been a little better night bite than there has been a daytime bite. And the trout are starting to move in the same as the sheep's head. The water temperature is starting to get at that right point where you're seeing a little bit more consistency. Not phenomenal, but more consistency.
Anything out towards the mouth, the 14-foot hole out there?
Not too much. There's been some Spanish and bluefish, but they've been very incidental catches. There's been a lot more big ladyfish than anything else, and they're not great numbers up there, but they're pretty serious quality 2 and 2.5 pound fish.
And we had some reports of 5 pound ladyfish around the harbor, and around Port Charlotte Beach, there's been some 5 pound ladyfish. I would rather catch a 5 pound ladyfish than a 5 pound to anything else.
I'll take a jack.
Well, jack's going to fight stronger, but I like watching the ladyfish the acrobatics shoot out of the water and do backflips and all that other stuff. And at 5 pounds, they are an amazing fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Swinging down the west side of the harbor, we got the west wall. Anything going on
out
there?
Few pompano on the bar, scattered redfish and trout on the bar. Most of the trout now seem to have kind of done a role reversal. There's been a lot more scattered small trout until you get down towards the southern part, towards Cape Hayes. Then they seem to pick up a little bit bigger.
And I've been hearing more trout on the inside of the bar, between the bar and the mangroves, than I have on the outside of the bar lately.
Yeah, there's been so many glass minnows over there on that side. I think that's what they've kind of moved in chasing, that were all over the harbor, that they kind of moved in just a little bit more there. There's also been some mangrove snapper up underneath the bushes at the mouths of some of those creeks, and a few redfish. Most of those redfish have been on the small side.
Okay.
Then down towards Cape Hayes, you got a lot of bonnet heads still going on down there, especially on the bar itself. Few pompano, few trout, kind of a mixed bag of stuff. The bigger redfish have been right at the mouth there at Muddy Bay, and then there's been a few up inside there a little bit too, but the majority of them are still a little bit on the smaller side.
I was just seeing how much you could talk about that west side of the harbor before I moved you on.
No, it's all good. I was working my way south.
Well, around Cape Hayes and up into Turtle Bay, hearing some nice redfish out on the bar, a lot of trout right in the area between the manatee signs and the old island with the pipes on it.
Right.
A lot of trout in that big flat out there. Some pretty good snook fishing over by the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah.
And then back up on the backside, if you go all the way to the back and in some of those back bays, but you have to be real quiet back there.
Yeah.
All the way to the back, furthest back bay on the back, Whaley Bay. There is some nice reds back in that Whaley Bay back there, but they are, you got to be sneaky. You got to be double quiet back there. Very, very, very few boats make it all the way to the back of Turtle Bay. And then you get in that little bay, I think it's called Whaley Bay, right in that back there. And that is some crazy, if you're quiet, you're going to find some really nice fishing. But anyways,
and the early morning bite, the water temperature's been pretty decent where the top water's been good. But the afternoon bite, when that sun starts to hit below the tree line, if you're willing to be back in there, has been incredible. I mean, really incredible. And that's mostly because of the mullet that are moving around. They're focusing pretty good on the top waters in general.
Now, Bull Bay's got about the same things happen. Lots of redfish, snooker, mostly under the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Trout through the entrance.
Lots of sheep's head there at the entrance, too, and underneath those couple shacks right there by the entrance.
Yeah. There's
been some, not great numbers, but they've been quality fish.
Mm-hmm. And they're, if you go around the outside where Kaopalug hits devilfish, and then you've got them islands along there. Heard of a little bit of redfish around Kaopalu there, the outside. Devilfish, sandfly working their way down on the outside. Mackerel,
trout, bluefish, ladyfish.
Are you hearing anything up inside on the tailing flats?
Not so much. Mostly little fish. A lot of little redfish in that 14 to 18 inch range, with the occasional fish in that 20 inch range. But that's an area where it's very, very productive, but you have to move a lot. Either use your trolling motor, your push pole, or even drift if you can, if the wind's right, and just work it very slow and quietly, because a lot of people use that for a thoroughfare trying to get back into Widden Creek and
catfish.
So they're constantly buzzing all over that whole area. So just go slow, don't devote more than a couple minutes to each spot and work it very, very thoroughly.
And if you can ever get there while it's still dark and be there right as the sun comes up, if you ever want to see your tail in reds, get there on a low tide day, just get out there before daylight, be anchored up, stop, and just as the sun comes up, before everybody floods that flat, you literally, it's your best shot of seeing those little flags coming up all over the place. And it's actually crazy to watch, but it's very difficult to see it because one boat goes through and they're all done.
Yeah, and it can also be tricky and deceiving this time of year because it's very normal to see sheep's head tailing and mullet tailing back there too.
Yeah,
you know, and they will flat out throw you for a loop. I mean, you'll see 500 tails sticking up, and you get all excited, and you get up there, and it's sheep's head.
Right.
You know, it's like, holy mackerel, you just don't think about a sheep's head tailing or a mullet tailing.
I got to tell you, my first bonefish tournament, I fished in the Keys, and we'd done really well that first day, except the first morning out there, that first day, I'll bet you I threw to 20 cowfish before I figured out the difference between a cowfish and a bonefish while they're tailing. Because until you notice the little subtle differences, you can't tell the difference between a cowfish and a bonefish.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that cowfish get pretty large. They'll get 18 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just used they're used to seeing the ones here that are only, you know, 2 to 4 inches long with an occasional 6-incher.
Yeah, we get 6 to 8ers around
Not
here,
as much as we used to.
No, but...
They're down there. They're huge.
And that big tail at a cowfish, they actually make more noise than a big bonefish. Mm-hmm. They're crazy. And down here in the flat, the sheephead will do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's really surprising to watch that. Now, when I was chartering the very first time, not second time, but the very first time, I was known for chasing around schools of mullet thinking they were redfish.
Yep.
It just...
I think everybody has. Well, I don't think you're in that category. You're just the only one with enough nerve to admit it.
Oh, I know what an idiot I am.
I know, but it's funny, you know. It's like, I've never been stuck on a sandbar either. Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we bolted out. Anyway, from the phosphate dock, moving up towards Three Sisters, a lot of flounder in the flats there.
A lot of flounder. There's been some better sheep's head there cruising around on that bar. They're moving around, heading towards either the phosphate dock or heading towards the Placida Trestle, so they're stopping in those sand holes to rest and going into the canals there at Boca. There's been a few sharks there of mixed varieties, all sizes from literally 2 foot up to 6 foot.
Some great black drum fishing in that 20-inch range there. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty good all the way along that flat, but I would stay a lot closer to shore than normally. Usually I fish kind of almost 100 yards offshore, but now I've been going almost up to the docks. You know, that's what I'm hearing more, right along by the docks, working people's docks and stuff going up.
Yeah.
Same thing all the way on up the inside of Gasparilla, too. You get to Placida again. Have you heard anything about Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay has been a little quieter for the customers lately, but they've been getting some better sheep's head and some redfish underneath the docks there. And then at the ends of the docks, it seems like real close, like surprisingly close to docks, the guys are getting some better trout. And then just drifting right there around Stump Pass, the guys are catching some nice whiting with an incidental trout or Spanish mackerel. But it has been a little quieter, and I think because of the holidays, we're not seeing some of our regulars that usually fish up there right now to get
a
super accurate report.
Fishing clubs and all that. The Englewood Fishing Club is what a great bunch of guys. You got nice people in the Gulf Cove Fishing Club, the Englewood Fishing Club, and we got so many of them over here. Really nice people. Getting out in the Gulf, it's going to be a little tricky. Really watch the weather for the next few days before you get out there.
Definitely.
But 60, 70 feet of water, beautiful red grouper being caught yet.
Some really nice red grouper. And then there's also been some AJs out there. And then just a little bit further than that, there's still some big red grouper. But some guys catching some quality scamp. Some bigger porgies, kind of a mixed variety in that 35 to 40 mile range.
Yeah, 70 plus feet of water.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
then in a little bit closer, still some bonita incidentals, not a lot, but then there's been some still Spanish mackerel from
a lot of
the
king
passes
mackerel out there, the
all
kings
the way out to
well.
15. Yeah. A lot of barracuda around.
But if you find a really nice day here in the next couple of weeks and you want to spend a little gas money, get out there 40 miles, and there's still some sailfish and some mahi, and you got a little bit of wahoo, and plus the king mackerel and everything else. I mean, there really is some nice fish out there right
now. Yeah, and 2 days ago, that loop current was sitting right on the ridge out there at 75, 80 miles, and that's where you got your chance of several types of billfish, tuna, bigger dolphin, definitely some bigger wahoo, some big scamp.
It's great being friends with Captain Morris and getting all these far offshore ports reports. Yeah. He runs that 84-foot boat, and he's out there a lot.
Yeah.
And it's brought that 40-plus mile range more into our reach. Because I know I've taken rented an 18-foot boat in the Keys and been 45 miles out in the Atlantic.
Right.
Never even thought twice about it. But right. For some reason, 45 miles an hour, 45 miles out here is like going to the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
you know, main thing is if you have the buddy thing going on, go with buddies, have a second boat going along with you, preferably an EPIRB, life raft, try to be as safe as possible, and definitely watch the weather. If you got a front coming, you don't belong out there unless you're in a giant boat, and even that's questionable.
Well, say good Boxing Day to your mother in Arizona.
Good Boxing Day. She's not even going to know what the heck that is.
Your mother doesn't know what's... She's very continental person. Your mother's, you know, she's... She's very well. I mean, she's well educated. She does all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, everybody out there, you have a good Boxing Day on Nancy's Fishing Frank and my friend Robert over there. We've been doing the fishing report for you, and we appreciate you listening here. Okay, that was Scottish and Uper.
I was going to say, yeah. You really went all over the map on that one.
I dropped right into Scottish. I couldn't hold the Uper there. But this is Fish and Frank and my best friend Robert. And thanks for listening, guys. This is Radio Fishing. And if you're Canadian, you're listening to us over breakfast, good morning.
Take care.
Just to ease my mind.